Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Jim.
It's good to see everyone out this morning. In thinking about my lesson, I had another lesson, but I didn't feel like it was going to be appropriate for what all has gone on. And you're asking why I'm a racist, because I forgot a name. But there was something that came to my mind after I talked to Shirley on Tuesday morning that I felt like I should speak on. And that is my shepherd. As we go throughout our life, things happen that we have no control over. And brothers, sisters pass. And we're still mourning the passing of our faithful brother. And we will for many days and many weeks and probably months to come. But something we should never forget is that our shepherd remains with us.
Amen.
And that's the reason I wanted to bring this lesson, because of that reason. And that helps us get through the times that we have and the times that we suffer. But yes, we have family, we have friends, but we also have the shepherd. And I'd like to discuss that today as we go through this lesson. And I'll go as quickly as I can and as stable as I can. So bear with me, please. But as you think about Abraham, Isaac, Abraham called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. By whom? By the Lord. By his shepherd. The one that led him, the one that took him from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. Same way as Isaac, he led him. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, the 17th chapter of Genesis, it talks about that. Whereas he said, I'm going to bless you. And great multitudes are going to come from you, great multitudes of people. And all nations will be blessed through your seed. And that's the promise he gave Abraham. And as he guided him into that strange land where he was sojourning throughout his life. And same with Isaac. He sojourned in that land. And it was promised then to him also, great nation will come from you, and the nations of the world, the nations will be blessed through your seed. But where I got the title from is in Genesis, the 48th chapter, in verse 15. This is Jacob talking to his son Joseph. He said in the last part of verse 14 or 15, he says, he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel has redeemed me from all evil. And think of that verse. So precious is that verse, that it applies to us today. We could say, the Lord who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, and the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. He was protected. Abraham was protected. Isaac was protected. Jacob was protected. As we'll see throughout the study this morning, all the generations were protected and shepherds. And even now today, as we are the spiritual Israel, we are being shepherds. And if you go over to the next verse or next chapter, in 24th verse of that next chapter, 49, he also says something that goes along with that shepherd. He says, but his bow remained firm, and he's talking about Joseph here, and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So the shepherd that was ever guiding, he was a stone that they could rely upon, they could put their anchor into. He was the foundation that that nation was built upon. Whereas we today, that cornerstone, that rejected of men, is that foundation that we are built upon. So as we look at these different men, I just want you to, this is history, I know, but it refers back to where we can see how God did take care of them. And if he took care of all these people, he will take care of us. He will shepherd us throughout. Next one we go to is, as we've talked about Jacob, how he was taken and got his wife, his two wives, and he came back. He made servitude to his father-in-law Laban for 20, 21 years, and he came back into the land, a great nation of 75 souls. And then when he went into the land of Egypt because of the famine, as we're studying on Wednesday night, and I invite everyone back for that study, they said he grew, that nation grew mightily. No matter what the Egyptians done to him, the more they persecuted him, the greater they grew. Until it was such a nation that they were scared that they were going to take over them if someone was to come in and fight. But God heard their cries, and he shepherded them. He led them. And he chose Moses to be that leader. And if you remember, Moses said that he's going to raise up a prophet like unto me, talking of the Christ. But Christ led him throughout that nation, throughout his journeys from Egypt all the way to the land of Canaan, whereas Moses was not able to enter, but he could look and see. But if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, Paul is telling us about that, about Moses and about the children of Israel and about Christ. In verse 2 of chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, it said, "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." He followed them. He shepherded them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the land of Canaan. Then go to Exodus, the 14th chapter. Verse 13 and 14. And we could read the whole story, but we're just going to read on comments that we can see that the Lord was shepherding his people at this time. In 13, it says, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you. Keep silent.'" And if you go on down and move down to the 19th verse, it says, "Then," or "the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness. Yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night." So who was his cloud? And what was his cloud? This was the shepherd. This was the Christ. He said, "The angel of God," or angel of Jehovah, "stood between the camp of Israel and the camp of Egypt, protecting them so that the Egyptians could not come over into their camp at night." And then go down to 24 and 25. And this is at the morning watch. "The Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the Egyptians, the army of the Egyptians, into confusion. He caused their chariots to swerve and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians.'" And then we know the story where they go down and Moses raises his hands up and sea covers him. And the Israelites seen the greatness of God at that time, of the miracle that he did there in verse 31. It says, "When Israel saw the great power which the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses." Moses was shepherding him, but by the Spirit, by the Christ, by the angel, being with them always, and being with him always. So we see Moses was a shepherd, but also God was there shepherding him and his people, caring for his people, protecting his people. And then we go to Joshua, the fifth chapter. We know Joshua, that he was given the duty to lead his people after Moses. He was commissioned to take his people into the promised land, into the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all those that fell into the wilderness because of their disbelief. But those that were 19 and younger entered into that promised land. There's an interesting point that sometimes we miss about Joshua. He was the leader, but there was someone else standing there helping him go through. And if you look in Joshua, the fifth chapter, in verses 13 through 15, it says, and this is where it is on by the Jericho, and ready to enter into the land of Canaan. It says, now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn at his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So Joshua is ready to enter upon the land of Canaan and take over and fulfill that promise that was given. And there was a man standing with his sword drawn. And Jacob questions him, are you for us or against us or for our adversaries? And listen to what the man says. He said, no, brother, I indeed come as a captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's host said to him, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. So who was this? This was the shepherd Christ standing, arrayed for battle to take over the land of Canaan and to lead his people in that. So he had a shepherd leading him, and that he was following. And he says, take off your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground. This was the Lord standing here. And then the next verse, chapter 1 and 2, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out or no one came in. And then listen, this man still standing here, he says, the Lord said to Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors. And then he goes on and proceeds to tell them how to overtake the city. But he says, I have given this into your hand. I'm here to fight your battle for you. And if you go back to look at the Egyptians, what did he do with their chariots and them? He confused them. They didn't know what was going on. They realized that there was no way that they could overpower the great and awesome God of Israel. So they perished, as did the people of Jericho, except for Rahab and her family. So we see that these four men, or six men, had a shepherd following them, taking care of them, leading them in the way that they should go. Whereas we today, we'll find out, we have a shepherd that's leading us. We know his voice, and we should follow his voice. And I want to go to the song that I had Jeff lead, and thanks, Jeff, for that. That's Psalms 23. As it is a very beautiful psalm and a favorite of many, and one that is said quite often at funerals. But also can be said to us today as we're sitting here. It can be a great encouragement to us. Think of these verses as you read them. Ponder upon them. And let's read through them, and I'll make just a few comments on them. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord's my shepherd. I have no desire of anything. He has there everything and given me everything that I need. I will be in no want. I don't need to worry about anything. I put my trust in him. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he lays me beside quiet waters. He gives me peace. He leads me to where I can be safe. His words are given to me that I may follow them, that I may enjoy them, that I may take comfort in them. Even at this time that we, as a congregation, grieves, we can take this as comfort. He's with us. He leads us, wherever it may be. But it's going to be for our good that He leads us to. In the next verse, it says, He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His name's sake, He's going to lead us. His name is not going to be downtrodden. It's going to be righteousness. We're going to follow after that. It says, He restores my soul. I become heavy-hearted. I become down. Who's going to restore this soul? It's my shepherd. This comfort that He gives me. In times of need, in times of suffering, in times of grief, in times of mourning, He's the one that's going to give me that comfort. He's the one that's going to restore my soul, that I'm at peace. That I have that peace that He talks about is surpasses all understanding. Then the next verse, He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You art with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Even in the latter days of my life, when I walk through that valley, and I know that my time has come close, I will fear no evil. Because why? He has promised that He's going to take me over into the promised land. And I'm going to be like Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, in comfort, in peace. So there will be no fear, because His rod and His staff, they're going to do what? They're going to comfort me. His word, His promises, they're going to comfort me. And then He goes on, He says, You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You allow me to sit down with my enemies, and I have no fear. You prepared this table in the presence of my enemies and showed them, this is what I'm going to do to my servant. I'm going to take care of myself. He's going to anoint me with oil, and that I am going to be able to withstand all the barrages of Satan, of the darts that he throws at me. He's going to set me up just as he did Job and told Satan, have you considered my servant, whoever, Job? Have you considered him? I'm showing you how great he is. I have my trust in him. The Lord has his trust in us. And can he say to us, look at my servant, whoever your name may be. Have you considered him? My cup overflows. I have all that I need.
Amen.
He has given me all spiritual blessings from his son. Everything that I need in this life. And most of all, the promises that he's prepared for a place for me. A mansion that I might enter in on that last day. And that's what goes along with that verse 6. It says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and loving kindness to those who are obedient unto his will. We can count ourselves lucky. We can count ourselves privileged. We are called sons of the Most High God. And that he has promised, as he did, as Jesus did in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare for you a mansion. It's going to be ready for you. So we see David was looking off into the future, but he's also talking about himself that day. And this chapter goes along with, you can look at the 119th Psalms, read those 176 verses, and meditate upon them. Because why? That's going to give you comfort, because that's God's word telling you how you're going to live, how you're going to survive everything. So we see David had a shepherd leading him. And we as a church, as the body of Christ, in this place, in other places, but the body of Christ has a shepherd leading them. Look in John, the 10th chapter. Verses 2 and 3, he said, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. John 10, 2. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The great shepherd. We know his voice. We have his words in front of us. So we know his voice when he's calling. And we will follow. And as you go down to verses 4 and 5, it says, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And you can look at John, 1 John 4. It says, test those spirits. We're going to know the voice of God because we're going to understand and know God's word. We're going to be able to rightly divide his word. We're going to study so we know it can do that. And we're going to proclaim that truth. And we're going to stand up for that truth. We're going to be, as Jude talks about, we're going to contend for that faith that was once delivered. Look at the ninth verse, of the same chapter, 10. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief is, and Satan's only concerned about one thing, destroying you, destroying man, so that they may not be able to enter in the shepherd. And verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf come and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches him away and scatters him. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. But Jesus said, I am concerned about sheep. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So we see that we, and he's talking to the Jews here, but he's also talking to the kingdom to come. I am the shepherd, he says. I will lay down my life. And he did lay down his life for his sheep. They were scattered, but they were bought back by his death and his resurrection. So as John says, we do have a shepherd. And Christ is that shepherd. He has been that shepherd from this point here and even before, in the time of Noah, Enoch, Methuselah, Adam, he was there. And even before, and even up to this point here in the church, he is our shepherd. He has been the shepherd of his physical Israel and his spiritual Israel. Look in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and we'll end there with that this morning. 1 Peter, second chapter, verses 9 through 15. And we talked about this stone a little bit ago. I'm going to go to the fourth verse because I think we need that to enter the context. And coming to him as a living stone, he's talking about those Christians. He says, which have been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built, what? Up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builder rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and down and to this doom they were appointed. But then he goes to the Cox, as he writes his letter to these Christians and to us, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slandered you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in a day of visitation. So he's saying, look at this. Beloved, abstain from these worldly things that Satan's going to pound upon your soul with. But go back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to restore my soul. He's going to care for us. In the last four verses of this chapter, the lesson will be yours. Take these and think of these and dwell upon these as you dwell upon the lesson itself. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now, listen to this, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. Amen. So as we think about these things, we have a shepherd. As you think of Christ talking to the Jews at one time, he says, "O Israel, would that I could draw you together as a hen does her brood under my wings to care for you." And think of this time as we mourn and grieve. Our Lord, our shepherd, is there to comfort us and promises us that our fellow soldier has gone on to the promised land. Whereas we, in years to come, in days to come, may also join with him if we follow the shepherd that is there taking care of us. So if you're outside the body of Christ, the shepherd's waiting for you to come. He's calling for you. He's imploring you. And if you went back into the world and went after the worldly things, he's there with open arms, imploring you. The angels are desiring you. We as brothers and sisters are desiring, come back. Come back into the fold. If you're subject to imitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?